Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. This is This is episode 37. I can't believe there's been 37 of these. Last week, we talked about suicide awareness since September is Suicide Awareness Month. If you want to hear that interview, be sure to click back on last week's episode. My guest was my friend Pam, and I am so grateful that she got on and shared her story about dealing with depression and suicide. It was really wonderful. And if you missed that interview, definitely go back and listen to last week's episode. This week is a little special. I am going to start featuring a few of my cancer buddies. For the next 3 weeks, we'll have three cancer survivors come on and share their stories. And my first guest is Bethany Webb. She is a breast cancer survivor. And so she goes into detail about her story, what she experienced, and how it led her to write her newest book, My Guru Cancer. I love her energy and how she was able to use something as difficult as cancer as a positive experience to encourage others through this new book that she's written. So if you want to check that out, I'll put that in the show notes as well so you can hear it. She's also a First Ascents buddy. There's a group of us who are young cancer survivors who are part of a program called First Ascents. I will also put that in the show notes for any of you who know any current cancer patients or cancer survivors between the ages of 18 and I believe they go up to 45 now. They are a great program. I've gone to a couple of their events. I love it. I've met amazing people through it. And what they do is they offer free adventures. And who doesn't love adventures as well as free things? Those are two of my favorite things coupled together. They offer free adventures for cancer survivors. It is great. It's a great bonding experience. There's tributaries where you get to meet with people in your area and hang out for maybe a few days or a weekend doing something fun like rock climbing or surfing or kayaking. And then there's these week-long things. And so that's what I did. And I did a week-long in Colorado. And my next two guests are people that I met on that trip. And they are wonderful. Tigress, who is Caroline, and Booj, who is Krista, who will be on the next two episodes. So you'll get to hear their stories as well as being cancer survivors. So if you know of anyone who has cancer or is a cancer survivor and now is no longer in treatment, but you think could benefit from getting together with a great cancer community, definitely click on the link for First Ascents to find out more information about that. So without further ado, here is my first guest.
All right, this is Alexis Newland. You're listening to The Brave Podcast, and my guest today is Bethany Webb. So hi, Bethany.
Hi, so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you. You're my third cancer survivor interview.
All right.
So I'm excited about
lucky
that.
Lucky number three.
Yeah. So I'll have you introduce yourself and tell people why you're awesome.
Okay, cool. Well, my name is Bethany Webb, and I am 39 years old, and I'm a breast cancer survivor. And there are a lot of reasons I'm awesome and that everyone's awesome, but one thing I think that speaks to what we'll talk about today is I think I'm someone who's relentlessly determined to find the good, especially in really difficult things.
Yeah.
And as you know, cancer is quite a curveball to get.
It is.
Period. And especially in your 30s or 20s or at a young age. And yeah, I'm really determined to find peace, find joy, regardless of the circumstances.
Okay. So let's dive into your cancer journey. When were you diagnosed?
Yeah, so actually it's funny. By the time this airs, it will be to the day my five-year cancerversary.
Oh, wow.
So I was diagnosed in 2015 with a very aggressive form of breast cancer. And it was about a two-year, pretty rigorous treatment plan. And then it started with 5 to 6 months of chemotherapy and then a double mastectomy with tissue expanders, which are these fake, very hard bowling ball-like breast.
That's what I've heard from my breast cancer friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened. Then it was followed by 5 to 6 weeks of radiation, 28 treatments total. And then a year later was the final breast reconstruction surgery, where I got my new boobs. I call it my boobiversary. And then right now I'm currently on a hormone blocker called tamoxifen.
Okay.
And that, I've been on it for almost 5 years. And so I'll probably be on it for another 5. So 10 total.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's been a party.
Yeah. 2 years. Wow. When you found out you were diagnosed, how did you take that? That's hard. And how old were you?
So I was actually, it was right around my 34th birthday was the time period of when I was figuring out what the lumps were. And so it's actually a really interesting story. When I dove into the process of diagnostic testing, actually I was a very, very natural, healthy, organic eating yoga lady for years.
Yeah.
And so when I first found the lumps, I actually took them to a naturopath. I had a really huge fear of Western medicine, and especially mammograms and radiation and all these terrible things that I had heard. So I tried with a naturopath first, and we used this other method, this other tool called thermography. And I had a lump in my breast that I found, and also I had gotten larger over the time, over many months, and then I found a lump in my armpit. So that's what sent me into, okay, this is new and weird and different. I had lumps before, actually, starting in my late 20s.
Oh, okay.
I started getting lumps, and I was told by doctors that I just had lumpy breast tissue, and it always ended up being a swollen lymph node or a cyst or something. So I had it checked out, and this was the one that I didn't. This was the one that I waited on. And so as the lumps started to get bigger, I felt it in my armpit. I did go to a naturopath, and he told me that it wasn't cancer, that there weren't any signs of cancer. And so, you know, I waited a few more weeks, and he had me on some natural therapies, and I felt the lumps getting bigger. And so that's when I, you know, I decided to face my beliefs about Western medicine. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not comfortable with this anymore. And some inner voice kicked in that said, go keep getting these checked out. And I'm really grateful I did, because if I had taken his advice of come back in 6 months, it could have been a different story.
Definitely.
So that time period of, for breast cancer, it usually starts with a mammogram and an ultrasound I had within the same day. And I, up to that point, honestly, I wasn't that stressed. The 10 years prior to my diagnosis, I felt like I was almost trained to go through something like cancer. I have a yoga therapy background. I'm also certified in a mindfulness technique called the work of Byron Katie. And I ate really healthy. You know, I just found all these cool ways to deal with stress. So up until that point, it was kind of like, you know, we'll see what happens. But when I hit that day, when I had the mammogram and ultrasound, and then they still didn't know, they told me that it looked suspicious and that I would need to get a biopsy. Then I just lost it.
That is heavy.
What do you mean? I still have to wait more. And, you know, it's already been weeks and weeks and weeks. And so I kind of spiraled right after that. And the biopsy was set for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks later.
Okay.
And so within that time period, I just went in a deep dive into ugly crying and feeling angry at the world and like a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And just pissed that I had to deal with this.
Yeah, in your early 30s of all times.
And I was at a time in my life, I had just gotten certified in that mindfulness practice, and I was like ready to launch this new career into the world. You know, I'm self-employed, and I was just so excited. I felt kind of like I was in the prime of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And physically, I felt super healthy too. So I was just pissed. And it was really funny, because at first, when I started going down, I just tossed every single tool that I had ever learned like out the window.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of it. I'm like, screw yoga, screw positive thinking, screw all of it. Like, I'm just pissed.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I'm actually super grateful that that happened, because I got to see so clearly why I was suffering. And it was everything I was thinking and believing about cancer and about the future. So this mindfulness practice, it's all about catching the beliefs, the thoughts that create stress. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what was running wild in my mind is, of course, I have cancer. You know, I wasn't sure if it could be, if it was cancer yet, but I had it in my mind. And then I had this story of what cancer means, and it means my life is over. Mm-hmm. I'm dying young. I'll be in pain. Treatment will be extremely painful. I'll have side effects for the rest of my life. People will pity me. All of my dreams, you know, can't be fulfilled. I had just this whole future
of negative thoughts
running in my mind. Yeah. And so I hit a point where, and I've done this a lot in my life, where I just like, I have to suffer a lot to finally be like, enough, mm-hmm. enough. I don't want to live this way anymore. And so that's what happened within that 2 week period between mammogram and biopsy, as I hit that point where I was just like, okay, like I'm willing to try a new way. And so that's when I started diving into the work, and I reached out for support from friends and had them facilitate me in the process. And it's really like, actually the biggest complaint about this process is that it's so simple and easy, and it's true.
Yeah.
And literally, all it is you have a stressful, you're feeling stress. Okay. What are you thinking and believing? Write that thought down. And then you ask yourself some questions. Mm-hmm. And it's really only four questions. It's, is it true? That's the first question. The second one is, can you absolutely know that it's true? The third is, how do you react? What happens when you believe the thought? And then the fourth question is, who would you be without the thought?
Hmm.
And then you do this practice. It's called the turnarounds. You'll take a thought like, you know, cancer will ruin my life. And you flip it to opposites, like cancer won't ruin my life or cancer will save my life. And so it's this interesting way of opening your mind up to other possibilities. Because when we're experiencing fear, anger, sadness, we're so stuck in one way of thinking that our mind becomes blind to seeing everything else
that could also
be going on.
Yeah.
And so it was so fascinating. I just dove in. And I started feeling so much relief so quickly that by the time my biopsy rolled around, I was excited for cancer.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know for sure if it was or not, but I could see so clearly how my life could be better because of it and what doors it might open and, you know, how it is giving me this opportunity to really practice all this stuff that I teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, really? You think you know how to find peace with that? Well, how about some cancer?
Yeah.
And we'll do that. And so I really, you know, I shifted my entire perception around cancer where, you know, at first it was a nightmare and something that's bad, something that you're supposed to fight. You know, these are all the common, common stories around cancer, to a different mindset around it where I saw it as, instead of, you know, a life-threatening condition, it could be a life-giving condition. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, I could, instead of fight cancer, actually welcome it into my life and see it as a teacher that's here to, you know, show me how that can involve me, that can grow me, that can, you know, create meaningful connections, that can strengthen relationships, that can, you know, teach me self-care, slowing down, presence, all these things, you know, I've studied in all these other ways that, you know, I never thought of, oh, my greatest teacher's here. It's cancer. You know, it wasn't any trainings I did. It's this.
Mm-hmm.
And so just with that mindset, I was a huge dork during the biopsy. Like I was a little kid. I was so, oh my God, I don't know if this cancer, but it could be so great. I looked like I was on drugs. I wasn't. I was just really happy high. And, you know, the doctors were super sweet. They were, I think, a little taken back.
How
I was. And then by the time I got the test results, so that was, you know, I had my 34th birthday by then. And then September 16th, so the day that this is airing, was the day that I got that call. And, you know, I'm not going to say I was jumping for joy when I got the call, but because my mind was already worked so much by that point, you know, I didn't experience the same crushing, like soul crushing defeat that I think I would have had I not already done some of that mental work. I think more than anything, it just felt really surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was part of me too that was like, oh, I like deserve a spiritual bypass for this because I already did all this inner work, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it definitely like, it was shocking. Mm-hmm. I have no history of breast cancer in my family. I didn't know anyone who had cancer. And again, I just felt crazy healthy.
Yeah.
So it more than anything, just really shocking. And then, you know, then I dove in. And so I used this tool, the work, it's also called Inquiry, throughout that entire process. Hmm. And it really was incredible to find each time I went down, which I did many times, you know, went down into a lot of emotional pain and physical pain, but that process pulled me out of it each time. Oh, in that beginning, so that when I was started doing the work, mm-hmm. I called it on crack, leg crack. I started writing. And okay. So I would wake up like at 2 a.m. For some reason, from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., I just would be up and have all these words in my head and like just would have to get them out of my head. And so, and I was also just so excited about all the things I was realizing and writing in general. I've always loved journaling and
yeah.
It just helped the process. And so I started these late night writing sprees. And then I started a blog at that point when I was diagnosed. So I decided to quote unquote go public with my diagnosis and share it in real time with a blog. The blog's called My Guru Cancer.
Okay.
And that was a really helpful way just for my own personal healing to process through writing, but then also the act of sharing it gave mm-hmm. more of a sense of purpose. And I'm sure you can relate, just a sense of purpose of going through this challenge and, you know, you're touching people, they're reaching back out to you, they're touching you. There's mm-hmm. all these like incredible connections. And on a logistical standpoint, it just kept people updated on what was going on.
Exactly.
So I didn't like answer that question 8 million times when people are like, how are you?
And they're texting, are you okay?
Yeah. So I really love that process. And then I decided to make that blog into a book.
Oh, and very so that, cool.
That is, and it's called My Guru Cancer. Okay. And by the time this airs, it's actually going to be out in the world. And I joke that I call it my book baby because it really has been. It's been a baby in the womb for 5 years that I've been tending to. And it's, you know, I ask myself when I did reach remission, you know, I use cancer as kind of this guiding post of like, okay, if the cancer does come back and I'm told I have 2 months to live, how would I live my life?
Mm-hmm.
And like the first thing that kept popping up was like, write the book. And
yeah.
So, you know, I really held myself accountable. Like, okay, don't wait for that. How about you just write the book?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's super exciting. So it really, this book kind of walks everyone through that entire journey that I took mentally and physically through the 2 years of treatment. And just all the lessons that I learned through that process and the different challenges that come up. Because, cancer itself is scary, but it really touches all aspects of your life.
It really does.
My relationships, my husband at the time and I had a lot of challenges in it. And then other relationships, it made them, you know, closer instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it touched obviously your physical pain and
you
know, it goes through so many changes so quickly. So there's body image. I had a lot of beliefs about like what I thought was feminine and not. And I have my long mermaid hair is back, but you know, as diagnosed, it was down to my butt and like my hair and my breasts were honestly my two favorite body parts. And that I thought like really made me who I was and what made me beautiful. And so to lose both of those really quickly was a really beautiful practice of self-love and seeing that that's not what beauty is.
Yeah, definitely. Because I remember when I first got diagnosed and people, you tell them I didn't lose my hair with my diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
but I remember that fear of losing my hair because it defines you as a woman is your hair. And I remember someone's like, oh, it'll just grow back. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's my hair. Like, I don't want to lose my hair. And so I just remember grappling with that possibility and being really like,
And really I remember hard feeling ashamed that I felt that way.
Yeah, like, that too.
so lame. It's just hair. It's just, and it's like, no, I really, like, this is a valid fear of mine.
Yeah.
And that part I knew would be really hard. So that was, you know, since I did chemo first, it was, you know, within the first couple of weeks, I lost my hair. Mm-hmm. And so because I knew it would be hard, relentlessly determined to find the good, I decided to throw a hair party with my friends and family. And so one of my yoga clients has actually owned a hair studio. So he opened it up on a Sunday and we got champagne and sushi. And I bought a new dress that looks bad with long hair, but would look cute with short hair, of course. And then we did this big ceremony out of it. And it's really funny because I thought he would just shave. But there's art, apparently, because I wanted to donate the hair as well. And so I thought that would, like, if I can't have this hair, and then you could probably make like 10 children's wigs out of it. So that part I was really excited about. But he had a very slow art of how to cut the hair to save as much as possible for these wigs. And it was like a 4-hour process.
Wow, 4 hours.
It was really long, but it was funny. And then my dad cut the very last strand of hair, which I have a fun photo of. But it was a special memory, you know, for all of us. Yeah. And I ended up with a pixie cut then. And I really thought that starting treatment and then going to chemo with the pixie cut, that kind of, you know, would have bypassed that emotional pain of losing my hair. And the day that I actually did lose it, I joke that I lost my mind as well, because I was anything but peaceful. I was a crazy lady. Like, I had woken up that morning and I knew it was coming, because I was told around after your second treatment of this certain chemo regimen that was likely to come out. And so I was on day 16, 2 days after the second treatment, and my scalp felt like really tender.
Okay.
And some of the hair was coming out, but not like in chunks or anything. But I remember being really nervous that it would all just like pour out, you know, while I was shopping at Whole Foods, and it'd be like on people, or yeah. I don't know. I had all these visions of how it would happen, but turns out I woke up one morning really early and I just knew. Like, I looked down at the pillow and there were little chunks there.
Of it.
And so I left my husband in the bed and like went into the bathroom, because I read somewhere that you could, if you took a shower, you could kind of rub it out more easily. And so I went in the shower. I'm like, okay, you got this. This is it. And I'm rubbing it out. And then I'm rubbing it out. And then I'm still rubbing it out. I'm looking at the floor and there's like tiny wet balls of, they look like wet hamsters all over the floor. But yeah, there's still so much hair.
You have a lot of hair. I can see that you have a lot of hair. Oh my gosh.
But it was a pixie cut at that point. I didn't think there could be that much hair. So I kept rubbing it off, but then the steam, I started getting really hot. I thought I was going to pass out. So I like fling the shower door open and I look in the mirror, and that's the moment I wasn't prepared for, because what looked back at me was this crazy lady. You know, she looked like she was in an insane asylum, because now, you know, there's steam running everywhere, which was entertaining. But like, I just had like these zipped trails of bald spots, and especially like, you know, the old man toilet bowl. And it was just all over. And so that's when I grabbed scissors and tried to cut it with scissors.
And it's wet.
And I'm like so overheated, and I'm yelling for my husband to come in, and it was just one of those like chaotic all over the place moments. And then it was over. You know, it was over, and there was time, like we got the shaver, shaved it off, and it was just over.
Yeah.
And now to me, it's a funny story. You know, I don't feel trauma looking back on it.
Yeah.
Although it was very traumatizing in the moment. But I love that's, you know, a part of that practice of the work in Byron Katie, a famous quote she has is, you know what I love about the past? It's over. Until we start rehashing it in our head.
Yeah.
So then I was able to embrace being bald. And so I remember a few days later, I walked into this super fancy sushi restaurant in Dallas. I was living in Texas at the time. And I just owned it. you know, I dressed up and it was just like bald as can be and Dallas elite, whatever group. And I was like, yep, that's me. And I really loved it.
Yeah.
I loved being bald. And it's also insanely easy when you've had so much hair.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. The ease of not having hair is incredible. And especially when you have so much other stuff going on, going through treatment, that I was actually quite a gift to just jump in a shower with a bar of soap. And that's all you needed.
Yeah. Man. And I love that you said that, like, it's in the past. Like, that's the cool thing, is that the things that have happened are in the past. I know for, like, my faith, when I was thinking about, like, all these things, like some of the traumatizing things of cancer, and, like, you also mentioned about, like, that the four questions that you ask yourself.
Yeah.
And I know, like, with me in Christianity, there's the same thing too. Examine your thoughts, and is it true? Like, capture your thoughts, because your thoughts can really be negative. And in treatment, if you're thinking those negative things, like not having hope or not believing the possible best outcome, or thinking that cancer is going to run and ruin your life, it can really affect how you kind of survive it. And yeah. I know when I got diagnosed in 17 at age 30, I think I was 34 too. And I got diagnosed, and I just remember thinking, okay, like, either this is going to ruin my life and I can let it, or I can embrace it. And like you kind of said, for you, like, cancer was a gift. I was like, I look and I thank God that it happened. Yeah, there are parts that sucks, it's expensive, and the treatment didn't feel good, but it was so life-changing. It opened up this window of possibilities for me to, like, meet new people and to do things like this, to podcast, yeah, and to, like, kind of face my fears. Because once you're faced with something that's life-threatening, you kind of think to yourself, what kind of life do I want to live? Do I want to continue living in fear, being negative, thinking badly about myself, kind of wondering the what ifs, or do I just want to go for it? And I remember praying at that time, and God's like, go for it. He's like, this is not going to end your life. You're going to live life and be vibrant.
I love that.
And so that's kind of been my life ever since. And I think because I remember before pre-cancer, I lived a pretty fear-ridden life. Like, I was just wanted to have control of everything, had a lot of anxiety, had all that. And then cancer hit and it woke me up, and then it just turned me in another direction, and I'm thankful for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thankful. I mean, one of my main messages is, you know, in my experience, freedom from cancer is a state of mind. It's not, you know, a physical, like, I could be ravaged with cancer and be cancer free.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And I found that joy, that peace, that gratitude with cancer.
Yeah.
And then what was interesting is actually, after I finished treatment, so that was after my 2 years, my mind went down again. And I didn't have cancer anymore. I mean, there was not proof of one cancer cell in my body, but my mind went into a fear of recurrence.
Yeah.
And this is going to happen. And I just watched again, the cause of my suffering was my imagination. And so that to me was so cool to see. And that's where, you know, I see people who are thriving with cancer.
Yeah.
Thriving with it. And so that freedom, in my opinion, is accessible anytime.
Yeah.
You know, I found it right before I was diagnosed. I found it during, and then I found it again after.
Yeah.
And of course it gets, you know, I forgot sometimes and went down. And that's part of the journey too, is like learning to be compassionate and loving towards ourselves, even when we're in fear and, yeah, and sadness and rage, or, you know, any of those emotions. That was a beautiful practice of self-love,
yeah,
for me.
And I also
to love myself anyways.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Cause you said something earlier about kind of feeling shame about, like,
yeah,
losing your hair and other, the things of, like, coping with the illness. And I had a friend tell me, it is okay for you to be mad about this. Like, she's like, it is, yep, okay. Like, I'm a person who's kind of like you. Like, I try to find the joy in everything. She's like, it is totally fine for you to be mad about this, have moments of being really angry. She goes, just don't get, yep, stuck in it. Like, just don't, yep, stay there. And so,
and
I'm like,
and it's healthy to let that out.
Yeah.
You know, it's cathartic,
it really is,
to just blah out. And so I would do that a lot with writing. I would just stream of conscious, blah, 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 like vent it out or stab my paper or whatever to get it out. And then what I could do is later when I felt a little more emptied from that, I could go back and see what I was thinking and believing. Mm-hmm. And it would be things like, you know, screw cancer. This is the worst thing that's happening. You know, this person did this or that. Like I would vent about it. And that I could take to that process of inquiry. So that process of the work really was the how for me to find again a genuine positive space, not like put a pretty picture on it mm-hmm. and like put some affirmations there. It was a genuine space where I was grateful for reality.
Yeah.
Instead of what I think things should be.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you, it really was the most beautiful wake up call to really embracing life now and not waiting. And I'm grateful to have that at a young age. You know, how many bedside confessions do we hear of people in their 80s and 90s
exactly.
who wish they loved their life more or, mm-hmm. you know, spent more time with loved ones or took that trip or, you know, you hear all these things and we get that message, have the opportunity to hear that message early.
Yeah.
Early on. And so, and I see, you know, I work with so many cancer, I'm going to keep calling them thrivers because I just...
Yeah, that's what we are. We're thrivers. Yeah,
totally. And I've met so many of all ages and I just find that the such a commonality in the mental thought process of cancer, even though, you know, if you've had different cancers or, you know, a different age, like there's just such a common thread of what the mind goes through.
Yeah.
And that was really, really connecting to see. And so I got really passionate about sharing this process as much as I could because I'm like, dude, like I found a way to enjoy cancer, guys. Like we should do this. Yeah. And it's not the only way.
Yeah.
But it is a way that I thought, you know, really was really powerful and effective at shifting my mindset quickly.
Yeah.
And I still use it. You know, I use it for anything stressful in life.
Okay.
So it's been, you know, it's been a really helpful tool.
Okay.
For sure.
How did you get a hold of FD or First Descents for our listeners who aren't familiar?
Yeah. So First Descents, I heard about it through my sister-in-law, actually, who heard about it through a friend. And I was in the midst of treatment at that point. And I remember her sending me a link to the website. And I click on it. And I thought I was dreaming because I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, you can get free vacations if you have cancer?
Yeah, it's like the same thing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool. I made a vow. So I had a girlfriend who was diagnosed with breast cancer 6 months after me. Mm. And so we became breasties, of course, and just going through it together. And we had met in Spain 10 years before that.
Oh,
and
wow.
Hadn't talked in 10 years,
wow.
But then reconnected over breast cancer. And so her and I made this pact with each other that when we finished treatment, we would go on a First Descents trip together. So
oh,
we actually reunited in Tarkio, Montana for a whitewater kayaking, a week-long adventure with First Descents. And it was amazing. It was so amazing. And that was my first time being around young people who've been through cancer, which was so nice.
Yeah, because when you, I don't know if you experience this, but when you go to the oncology like office or the cancer center, you're usually the youngest person in the room, right?
Yeah.
It's so
like
weird. Yeah, you're like, wow. And people look at you like, what are you doing here? And you're like, what am I doing here? Yeah. Like, I don't want to be
here. I think my favorite comment was, you're too young to be here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, apparently I'm not. But yeah, it would just be a sea of gray hair. And, you know, I like feeling young, so it's not a big problem. But
yeah.
I really loved connecting with people my age going through it because it, you know, it's hard at any age, but mm-hmm. it's a different set of challenges when you're in your 20s and 30s where, I mean, traditionally that's the time to grow things and,
exactly.
and families and careers and be moving. And it's not the time to face mortality.
Yeah.
You know, it was really amazing. Amazing. And so I did that week-long trip and then I just, of course, fell in love with First Descent, and anything I live with, I try to make a job out of it. So I get really connected with them. And I moved out here to, I'm in Boulder, but the Denver is where First Descent is based.
Okay.
So I've connected with them, and they are a chapter in my book called Outliving It. With my experience whitewater kayaking with them. But I have done rock climbing, surfing. I was super involved in the Texas community too. And then the local community in Denver is amazing. And well, before COVID, we would meet once a month and do aerial yoga or go to a climbing gym or some kind of. And it was really my community, like friends, when I moved out here.
Yeah.
Some of my closest friends that I've made since I've been here have been through FD. Therefore, my closest friendships, you know, that I've just walked into is because of cancer.
Yeah, same. It's amazing.
So cool.
Yeah, it is so amazing. Have you lost anyone from your trip or your one of your trips or in your community yet?
Not that was on one of the trips in person, but definitely people I've gotten to know through all the online forums. Yeah, have passed away.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's hard. You're just like, man, and you hate to see when it happens. You're like, this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But here it is. Yeah.
Here it is. And also I see, you know, people who have gone through the same treatment plan that I have, you know, and it's come back. And so you just never know. And that's not to me, like, I think I can use that information one of two ways. One is to be terrified.
Yeah.
Which is, I've gone there. And then the other is use it as inspiration. And so a lot of my life is lived out of like, okay, well, I know it can come back and, you know, live life now.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that I want? Okay, let's make those dreams happen now. Mm-hmm. And not in like a pressure do it all today-ness, but in terms of life, you know, priorities, what's important to me. And moving out to Colorado was a big, you know, side effect of that mindset.
Yeah.
I've been living in Texas for almost 20 years and was just ready for a place with more nature and adventure and community. And so I gave it to myself and started a new life out here a year ago.
Wow.
And I am in love with it.
I can imagine. Like, that is the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places in the United States.
Yeah. I have never been so in love with where I live before until now. I mean, I didn't hate where I live, but I just have never loved it so much. I'm like a little kid. It's been a year and I'm still like, oh man. I found a new hike on Friday. Is this real? Yeah. There are wildflowers and waterfalls and oh my goodness. Yeah. I feel really, really lucky.
It is amazing there. I went to my first FD week long was in Estes Park. And I remember like when they dropped us off at the Overlook, because we stayed at the Overlook cabin that's in Estes Park. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, I get to hang out here for a week. I was geeking out. I was like, I cannot believe this exists. And then we went to Rocky Mountain National Park and we got to do Heart Attack Hill. And I remember being so loopy from the lack of oxygen up there, but overjoyed with how awesome. And for me, like, nature equals God to me. So if I'm in nature, I feel God the most. And so I'm just like, thank you. This is amazing here. It's beautiful. And just was in heaven. Did not want to leave at all when it was done.
And First Ascent runs those programs flawlessly.
They do. I mean, it's amazing.
Like top-notch accommodations. The food. Out of this world.
The food.
Like the staff. Like we're all doing things that I didn't think any of our bodies could do.
Exactly.
You know, the whitewater kayaking. I have a close girlfriend that I met and actually tell her story in the book because she's freaking amazing. But her name is Zen, and she, because of cancer, she actually is in a wheelchair now.
Okay.
It's a her cancer diagnosis. It was a tumor that was close to her spine. And anyway, so she's definitely had,
yeah.
I think I had changes with new body parts. She has had huge
That's
changes.
A major and change.
Was freaking rocking whitewater kayaking. I mean, rocking it. She was amazing. But all of us, you know, we all thought we couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it creates such a safe, encouraging environment that, I mean, everyone surprised themselves. And it really helped me trust my body again. You know, I thought like being in my yoga world, I always thought of myself as really intuitive and in touch with my body. And when cancer happened, I was kind of like, well, crap, I didn't Like I'm hanging out with these tumors, feeling the lumps, and I did not know it was cancer.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I disconnected, like I couldn't count on this vehicle as much anymore. And then of course, you know, the side effects of treatment, you lose a lot of strength and energy. And so God, that week was just this reminder of how strong I am physically. You know, I knew it mentally and emotionally, but physically it felt so good to find that fearless trust again. And that's been a big thing moving out here. I'm really, you know, I'll go hiking and I'm now a ski bunny. I've grew up in Texas and Florida, so skiing was not a thing, but it is my thing now. And I've tried the rock climbing and, you know, all of it. I'm not great at any of it, but I really love it.
Yeah. Same here. Have you heard of Sendit? Have you done anything with them yet?
I haven't, but I've heard of them. Yeah, I've heard great things.
They are awesome. Just as equally as awesome. All these cancer communities, like, thank you for, like, making cancer not suck. They're amazing, and they took me skiing in Tahoe. If you ever get a chance to come out to Lake Tahoe, it's gorgeous.
I've seen pictures. I really want to go there.
It's beautiful. And I remember thinking, I'm terrified of skiing because I'm kind of clumsy, and the thought of, like, being on skis on a mountain flying down, I was terrified. And they made it so awesome. By the end of my trip, I'm like, I can't believe I skied. That's one of my biggest fears. And I faced it in the most beautiful place in the world, in Tahoe. Like, I'm like, this is awesome. And just, it's amazing what those trips teach you. Like, you think you can't do something. Yep. And then by the end of it, you're like, yeah, I totally can do this. Like, I can do
And then I made anything. A whole pile of new besties.
Yeah, it's an amazing community. And I keep thinking, had I not had cancer, I would have never had all these awesome experiences or people in my life.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, our local group did a ski day this past February, and there were 50 of us out there. It was 25 survivors, 25 volunteers, and they paired us up. I'm considering myself kind of like intermediate with skiing. So it was me and maybe three or four other participants, and then a staff member who's really good at skiing. And so we all kind of split up and, you know, work the mountain different ways. And it was so fun. We ended up going down, I don't know how I did this, but a double black
diamond,
which I would never have even remotely thought I could try or do, but we did it. And I remember going back up the ski lift afterwards, and I was sitting next to the instructor, and I was like, oh God, but let's just not do that. Okay. And I was pointing to the side of the mountain that looked like murder. And he goes, that's what we just did.
And I was
like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, that's what you just did that. And I was like, blown away.
Wow.
Now, have I done that again? No.
No.
It was great. It was a great one-time experience. And I'll stay on my blue runs moving forward.
Did it feel crazy steep and crazy scary?
Really steep. Yeah. And so I just took it slow, you know? And so, and it also was that initial drop in the beginning, you know, where you're just like, you're sitting at the top and you've got to just go.
Yeah.
So that moment in your mind, of course, is like, oh my God, I'm going to roll down this hill. <or mountain. laughs> This is my last breath. Everyone's watching. But, you know, like many things, turns out not to be true. Yeah. And I did fall and I got back up and kept going. And then we all had super high fives for each other afterwards. Wow. Have you done any other programs?
I have done mostly rock climbing. They've been like that skiing one was separate. And then I've done rock climbing in Estes, rock climbing in Tahoe, which was awesome. At Donner Lake, which was, it's a really easy climb.
With FD?
It's with FD. Yeah. And then I went to a family camp in the Santa Cruz Mountains here called, oh gosh, Me One Foundation. And so they do like a weekend camp where you can bring like your caregivers with you. So I brought six of my best girlfriends and treated them to a weekend of being outdoors, hiking. Yeah, you've got to do it. Free. It's called Me One Foundation. And I'll send it to you.
The number one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's incredible. I have not heard of that. I love that.
It is a great one. And you are pampered. You get your own concierge. You get a cute little cabin with you and whoever you want to bring with you. The food is also amazing. Just a wonderful. And it's a 3-day weekend and it's absolutely wonderful. You'd probably love it. I'll send it to you.
That's awesome.
The nicest people you'd ever meet. And just, if you have kids, people brought their kids there. They had massages and pedicures and manis.
Oh,
it's like a pampering weekend for you and your closest friends or family. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So what are some of your goals for the rest of the year? I know 2020 has been bananas.
That's so crazy. 2020 is pretty entertaining. But honestly, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel going through cancer really prepared me for COVID.
Yeah.
It's so similar. The process is so similar. Like, to my mind, I'm like, the whole world just got a cancer diagnosis when COVID hit. It was like this unexpected, out of nowhere, what the heck is this, unfamiliar territory curveball.
Yeah.
So there's like that initial shock, and then life changed. You know, you're not doing the same pace of life. Your job has changed. Your relationships may have changed. You are forced to slow down to do less. And so I was kind of, it wasn't a hard adjustment for me at all. And so that was really neat to be like, oh, well, apparently cancer trained me for a global pandemic. And then of course I saw my mind. And the stories about the future, like, oh my God, the apocalypse is coming and the world's ending and there goes all of our money and there go, you know, just future crappy story, worst case scenario future. And then I use that same process, you know, is it true? Can I absolutely know it's true that that's what will happen? How do I react when I believe the thought? Well, right now I'm freaking out and in full panic mode, which is, by the way, wonderful for your immune system.
Yeah.
And who would I be without the thought? I'm more present and just kind of like, whoa, okay, what can I do today? Like, how can I enjoy my time inside? I actually started a new relationship with my boyfriend. I met him right before COVID. So that became our little honeymoon phase together with COVID. And I'm like, well, this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just helped me, you know, release what I can't control, which is a global pandemic, and then focus on what I can, you know, how I can make the best of it.
Okay.
So very similar to the cancer journey. So yeah, big goals. One is this book has been, like I said, a 5-year birthing process. So I'm super excited to have that out there. And then to see where that life goes with the book. So my work is, you know, I do a lot of online coaching. I work with a lot of cancer people, but also anyone with chronic health conditions or that's just struggling in relationships or career or anything. So I work with them in that process of the work of Byron Katie. And then I shifted my yoga business to be online, luckily before the pandemic.
Okay.
So that was a good
job. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where the book takes me in terms of, I mean, where I feel really called to serve and work with people is in the cancer world. And so there are so many opportunities that have opened up already because of it. But I'm hoping with that book baby, it can open up some new doors of working in more cancer support centers, which I've done workshops and stuff in the Texas ones. But and just seeing, you know, it'll have, like many things, a life of its own. And I'm just want to stay really open and present to following that.
Okay.
And yeah. And then just living an awesome life. And Colorado's it for me. You know, traveling, not a big, you know, I canceled all my trips. Okay. So it's camping, it's hiking, it's, you know, Zoom calls with my family in Florida. It's babysitting my little niece who's now 1 year old that lives out here. And that's incredible. So enjoying this new partnership and just, embracing life now.
Okay. And then final question for you. When did you decide that you were brave?
I love that question. I mean, I saw it really clearly just facing the possibility of cancer.
Okay.
And that I see that in everyone. You know, it's like you, even if you're having a terrible time and are freaking out or, you know, any of it, like that's still brave. You woke up this morning.
Yeah.
And you still showed up and you got out of bed or didn't. Like that's also okay. But yeah, just like being willing to be here is an act of courage, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bethany. And I'll put all info about her in the show notes so you guys can find her. And what's the name of your book again, one more time?
It's called My Guru Cancer.
Okay. All right, Bethany, thank you so much.
Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to this week's episode. I'm going to put all ways to get a hold of Bethany, purchase her book, in the show notes. So if you want to find out more about her journey with cancer, all of that will be in the show notes about her book that you can go and purchase on Amazon. And congratulations, Bethany, to publishing your first book. That is a huge deal and super proud of you, and yay for the cancer community that that is out there now. All right, my three asks. My first ask, if you like what you heard today, please feel free to share the episode with a friend. My second ask is to subscribe to the mailing list or email list or whatever. Subscribe. You can go onto my website, which is www.apeachincali. That's spelled A-P-E-A-C-H-C-A. Oh my gosh, I can't spell. L-I.com. You can go there, go to contact us, put your email in the link, and boom, you're on the email list. And the great thing about being on the email list is you become a part of any fun giveaways I might do, or finding out about anything fun going on with me in the future or what I'm doing now. And you get the episodes a day early, which is really nice. Who likes getting things early? I know I do. So subscribe. And then finally, ratings. Ratings help me know what you guys are loving and wanting to hear, and also it helps people find the podcast. And again, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate the feedback that you guys have given me, for tuning in each week, for shooting me messages on social media. And just a heads up, I am not on social media this month for September. I don't know if I said that in the last episode, but yeah, I'm taking a break off social media. It's been really nice, you guys. I have to admit, I absolutely love not being on it. I found that I have a lot more time to do things, which, wow, social media is a huge time killer, but I am posting the episodes on it. I'm just not responding to comments or doing anything. I'm not interacting. I'm just posting and getting right off. So I'm not on social media this month. So if you need to get a hold of me, shoot me an email and I will get back to you. And next week, my guest will be Caroline Wolden, who's also Tigress, and she's going to share her journey with breast cancer as well. She is one of my favorite people. She's also newly engaged. Congratulations, Caroline. And she will be on next week, and you're going to love her story and just who she is in general. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Bye.